Welcome!
Loud.
Welcome. Welcome to Quiet Hour with Kyle and Andrea.
No, I meant smartass. Hey, welcome to Tangent TV Talk with Andrea.
Hi, I'm Kyle.
Thanks, Travis, for our artwork. We really appreciate it.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Travis. We did like the artwork. We're also working on getting a theme song. It's a theme song that's in the works, but we don't have it yet. So
Sorry.
We could try to sing something if you...
No. I mean, you could, probably. But I probably shouldn't.
It's Tangent TV Talk!
Okay.
Should we apologize for being so long since our last...
Well, we're sorry about that, but we're working out the kinks. We'll definitely be more regular...
Yeah.
Regular when we've worked out the kinks to everything. We wanted to really have our episode in place with the theme music and the artwork, everything ready to go. That's not happened, so normally we would not be this long in between. Episodes.
Yeah.
So this is actually episode 2.
Yeah, episode 2. Tangent TV Talk.
Where basically we just talk about TV.
Or get lost on a tangent.
Hence the name, and really how our lives go. At least conversationally with each other. So we figured that off the bat we would talk about some shows we both watch and love.
Yeah, let's hit it.
Maybe watch and hate. And then we may talk about some things that the other one doesn't watch and we'll have to get over it.
Yeah.
So I guess right now, because it's summertime and I'm always obsessed, we'll start with Big Brother.
Big Brother!
Oh, you know what? Scratch that.
Scratch it.
So you think Dance just had a finale?
Oh, yeah, let's cover
that. We can talk about that and wrap it up because we do have a new season coming pretty quick, yay, but it was the finale.
I have to be honest, I actually fast-forwarded through a lot of the actual finale.
The finale.
The finale.
That's a little shout out to Kat Dealey, the hostess with the mostest. We love her.
I did, you know, when I saw that the judges were actually dancing, I made it a point to rewind so I could watch that whole number.
So basically you're useless during this conversation. Fantastic. I did not fast forward because I usually really enjoy the So You Think Can Dance finales. This one I didn't. I think because overall for me, while of course I loved it, because I love it, it was a pretty lackluster season. Nothing, except for maybe the dance about cancer, really stood out as I had to see it again. I must see that again. So they showed a lot of dances. They showed the judges' dances, their favorite dances from the season. So you got a lot of repeats, and most of them, again, I was still like, oh, okay. But I did watch all of it just because... What the hell else was I watching? And I like it. But there was nothing great that happened other than the judges dancing for the 2 minutes that they danced.
Do you think that those are actually the judges' favorites? Or they're told what to say?
Well...
Because I don't... Surely it's not a coincidence that they all had different dance numbers that they were their favorites. It's bound to happen that a few of them think the cancer number is their favorite. So, but you can't pick the cancer number because each judge has to have a different thing to pick, so they told them to pick something else. Don't you think?
I think that, are they told what to pick exactly? Probably not. But are they told, like, 5 other people pick this, pick something else? Probably.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't know. I want to live in my own little world of course they weren't told which ones are their favorites. That's the world I'm going to live in. And you can't drag me out of it. But I don't doubt that a conversation went on that we can't have 3 people say the cancer dance is our favorite. Like, that can't be. So, I don't know.
Right. I refuse to believe that the disco number was Tyce DiIorio's favorite number of the season.
No, but it was the first year that they could show a disco number the second time because it wasn't completely horrendous that Doriana Sanchez can only put a bunch of lifts together and hip-shaking in between. It's the first season I actually said, oh my God, was that a pretty decent disco number?
And it was. It was actually a pretty decent.
The second one also she did this season was also decent. So 2 winners from her in 5 years. Oh, thank God.
I also think that they're told to try to mix it up as much as possible so that as many dancers as possible can dance. So there's not 6, you know, Brandon numbers picked.
Probably right, except that some of them definitely showed a pattern. They would have Jeanette was in a few, where some of the people from the top 20 didn't even get in one.
Yeah, that's true.
Brandon, I mean, all the top four people were definitely in more than one. That makes sense to me. But Jeanette was in like three or four, mm-hmm. and you had other people in the top 20 that weren't even in one. So I don't know if maybe they're told we have to have our top four in at least a couple of them. I don't know. I guess I'm going to live in the fantasy of they weren't told what to pick.
All right.
So I don't have a conspiracy theory for it. What I will say is, while it was a lackluster finale and I was like, whatever, and you didn't even watch it, so obviously it didn't grab your attention, I was very happy Janine won.
Yes, me too.
And normally who I want to win never wins. So I watched a whole season and I'm disappointed in the end. So I wanted her to win, so I was pretty happy about that. I was pretty happy it came down to her and Brandon. I think both of them deserved it. Either or, I would have been happy. But as my sister says, and other people I've talked to in life, like, what do they do after this show? That what difference does it make, basically? And I'm like, I don't know. Carrington's in fame. She didn't even win. Carrington's in fame. She didn't win.
You go on to Broadway. You try to make it as a dancer.
All right.
Or you start choreographing numbers so you think you can dance.
Which is fine. And maybe you get to do a leg in Broadway, leg up, leg up.
If you're one of the hip hoppers, you can start going out for music videos.
Yeah.
Try to choreograph music
Absolutely.
Videos.
And some of them have been in movies. Adam Shankman's given them parts in like the Step Up series of movies. So, I mean, I get that. But, I mean, just as a dancer, it's not so easy to be a megastar.
Some of them probably nothing. Like Melissa, the ballerina, who yeah. they keep trying to play off as being like 50-something years old.
She's old for a ballerina.
Well, she's old for a dancer and for the competition. She's on the older side. But she's like 27 or something, right?
I think she was 30. Or 29.
I don't think... Well, yeah. I think she's... Yeah, late 20s. I don't think she's quite at 30 yet, but... Yeah.
What, I mean, what was she going to do without this show? Can only be a ballerina so long.
You think she'll continue just fucking that black guy?
I don't even think that a day...
A day, yeah.
likes girls. So, I'm not sure.
I think she was tapping the a day.
Maybe if he liked girls, that was going on, but I really got the vibe he didn't. And he'd rather be with Brandon. Just my opinion.
Brandon rather be with Brandon.
Well, yeah. If I had Brandon's body, I'd want to be alone with my body, too. All the time. So, I was happy about Janine. I thought whatever with the finale, except for the 2 minutes of the judges dance, that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. That little boy dance crew, they didn't do it for me the first time. They certainly weren't doing it for me the second time around. And I still think, where are the parents of that little boy that they're allowing their kid to be thrown across the stage by 2 14-year-olds? I don't understand why that's okay. It just doesn't seem like it's a good idea to me, but whatever. So, there goes another season of So You Think You Can Dance.
The peculiar things that I love about the finale, like them trying to squeeze all the judges at the table, you know.
Yep.
And they always end up sitting Mia
next to the short
black guy.
Yep. Well, she got both short men. Tice and Lil C.
Yeah.
It's like, short men, everybody has to go by Mia. She's gargantuan next to you. I wonder if she asks for that so she could just look more important.
Maybe.
People hate Mia. Did you know that?
Who?
Like, people I talk to at work who watch the show.
They hate me and Michael?
Yeah, they can't take her. I'm like, I love her.
Well, yeah.
They think she's mean.
Mean?
Mean.
How is she mean?
Like, she was mean on the judges panel to Brandon before they made the top 20.
Somebody should be mean, though. It's a dance competition.
I find most of the judges on that show to be very constructive. I don't ever really use the word mean. She's pretty blunt about it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's tough when you're in a studio with her, I would hope.
But that's the kind of, I don't know, maybe it's just me not living in a Pollyanna universe and living in a world that's arts centralized, but those are the kind of people you respect. They blow your mind, they treat you like crap because they want you to be better, they're blunt with you. Those are the people you gravitate
towards. Well, these are definitely non-arty folks. I mean, I work in the financial business.
Yeah.
And none of them are actors on the side. So they're definitely not people, like, they find it to be mean. I'm just saying. I was a little bit flabbergasted because I thought everybody felt the way that I felt, that she does some good dances. I get to see some good stuff from her. And I don't mind when a reality judge is actually real. Doesn't bother me as much as the free world, clearly. So I just wanted to say that tidbit, though, because I definitely have people at my job who watch the show and love it, but they're like, why is she so mean? And this year she was even more mean. So, unless you have anything to say, we should probably move on.
All right, we're going to move on.
So, Big Brother.
Big Brother.
Spoiler alert, if this is out there anytime soon, we probably will talk about things that may not have aired yet, because it's Tuesday, which would be veto competition, veto ceremony night. And since I watch Big Brother After Dark and I comb the internet for information, I already know who won the veto and whether or not it's been used. So
we're probably going to talk about that.
Yeah. So Kevin won the veto.
And he didn't use it.
And he didn't use it. Which, I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, he doesn't have to. It's not like Marcellus not using it on himself.
Right, yeah.
But he is in an alliance with Lydia, and they actually seem to have a friendship. You would think he'd use it.
Yeah, I mean, how much power does little Natalie really hold? Natalie and Shima and Jesse. Like, are they that formidable that you would actually say, oh, okay, I don't want to make them mad by, instead of saying, look, guys, I understand you don't mean to take her up, but I have to. She's my partner, and you know, we're friends, and I'm going to take her off. That's what I do. You would do it for Natalie. You would do it for Shima. I'm doing it for Lydia.
Well, here's the thing. 3 weeks ago, they had a lot of power because they had numbers.
Yeah.
And they had people who would listen to their utter bullshit and vote the way they wanted and carry out the quote-unquote head of household's wishes, which bothers me to my core anyway. But they don't have that kind of numbers anymore. So now would be the time where you could say, screw you. Lydia and I are friends. I'm saving her. Deal with whatever you're going to deal with. Sorry. It's your job as head of household to figure it out. Not mine, because I'm the veto holder, you know. So, I don't know why, but he listened to their theory. Everybody's afraid that Russell won't go home, and that if Lydia stays up there, he will. They also are all convinced that Jeff has the coup d'etat power, which, of course, as the viewer, we know he does. And they think, you know, who do you replace Lydia with that would make Jeff not use the power? Which, by the way, they're calling the wizard power. He's the wizard.
Right.
So I'm going to say the wizard, because coup d'etat is a mouthful. Or the coup d'etat.
Coup d'etat.
You have won the power of the coup d'etat. Aw, Jeff.
Jeff.
He's good looking.
He's cool. I'm with you, though. You mentioned earlier off mic that you wouldn't use it. And I don't think I would use it either. I mean, this core is only three. And you would either be getting rid of somebody who has another person in the game that's always going to be looking out for them, or at least we thought. Or a really strong, athletic contender. And you wouldn't be putting any spotlight on you.
I think the only thing that Jeff may be thinking, but of course we don't know because he can't talk to anybody about it, is that if he did save Russell, Russell would be on his side with his very athletic self.
Yeah.
And right now it is Jeff and Jordan against the world. And as much as I love Jordan, because she's adorable and sweet and a kind person, she really has no clue about the game. And she hasn't won a damn thing. You don't have to have a clue about the game to win anything, but she hasn't done that either.
Right.
So she's not really giving Jeff much to work with, other than a vote. She's always going to be a vote to keep him, or a vote in the end for the money. So he kind of could use somebody else, and why not Russell? Because Russell is athletic and can win things.
But if you look at the flip side of that coin is, who has been head of household so far? It's all been that clique.
Right. But if Russell wins again, hopefully then he's part of your clique. You saved him.
Hopefully.
You use your super wizard powers.
Hopefully. But
according to the Afterdark, they're going to ride or die till the end. Russell says if somehow he's still in the house, me and you, we ride or die to the end. Oh, and he's teaching them all the numbers of the days that things happened on. Day 12, Brayden was evicted. Day 30-something, blah, 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 blah.
Well, like, I'm just playing devil's advocate. And like, you hope that would happen, but you can't be sure. But if you used your wizard power and you put Jesse and Natalie up there, you're guaranteed somebody from that clique leaving the door.
Right.
Then suddenly, all the groups in the house are down to twos.
Which isn't a bad deal.
Which would, is a great deal.
And Shima can't play if they had a household, even though she'd be pissed off and want revenge. This week she can't play and can't do anything to you. And if one of those two are gone, that just leaves the other one to play if they had a household. Although, I think that that clique of Shima, Jesse, and Natalie still do wield some influence, I think I know, over Kevin and Lydia. Lydia, because she really is in some sort of crazy obsessive love with Jesse, and it is crazy. The fact that he will walk in from another room of the house to wherever she is and be like, go get me a soda, and she'll do it. Like, he can't even get his own soda. I watched him the other day in the kitchen. He was in the kitchen, and he asked Natalie to get his drink, get me a drink. Get me a drink, and she did it. He has two women that do whatever he wants them to do, and he's been verbally abusive to Lydia to an extent, and he's never nice to her. She begs him, like, can we nap together? Like, she's begging for that. It's a little bit disgusting to me. I don't like it. But he definitely has influence over her. And obviously, Kevin can't stand on his own two feet either. It's his first time with any power in the house, and he's, for whatever his reason, wavering. For what?
I would just like to see it from an audience member standpoint, to see the power used. And I would doubly like to see it if Jesse got kicked out, you know, 2 years in a row at the hands of America, basically.
Right. That would be fun, although my preference really would be for Natalie to go.
Oh, absolutely.
But that's purely out of she annoys me. Really, game-wise, Jesse should go. Because Natalie does not have any real ideas of her own. And the other day when she said on air, not on Big Brother After Dark or on message boards, on air during the luxury competition, well, of course Shima picked our team to win because we're the winners. It's a team full of winners. What have you won, Natalie?
The only thing that would scare me about that strategically is if she left and Jesse stayed, then that's an easy alliance then between Lydia, Kevin, Jesse, and Shima, in my opinion. Because with Natalie out of the way,
right,
there's no more barrier between these two and these two being top notch.
I don't think she'd be the one to go anyway. I really don't.
Yeah.
And I really think that strategically, for that reason and for the reason of she hasn't won anything, strategically keep her in. She's just annoying. And that hair is disgusting. But she hasn't... When she said, of course she picked our team, it's a team of winners, I was hysterically laughing in my own home. Like, what have you won? You've just been with two men who've won everything for you. Mm-hmm. And you were safe by extension because you were on an official Big Brother team with them that Big Brother made the rules up of. You can't put them up and they can't go out and they get all the perks you get. Except for the room. Let me tell you something about Natalie that drove me up a freaking wall. See, here's where the tangent comes in. Because I'm sure Kyle did not see this. When Shima got her head of household room, they show that on the After Dark. Because it's usually in that time frame. Uh-huh. And so, hey guys, want to come see me in the household room? Sure. Everybody goes up. Now, backtrack. Rewind. When Jesse won the second time, I watched her say, oh my God, you got another pair of slippers? So apparently, even if you've won multiple times, they give you a new robe and new slippers, at least new slippers. And she's put her feet right in them. And he said, you can keep the old ones, you're not getting these. So she's walking around the house in Jesse's oversized man slippers for weeks now. That already annoyed me. Now it's Shima's had a household room. They're in the room. They edited that out of order, by the way, because she read half her letter before she even got to the part about her mother's illness and then stopped and said, maybe I shouldn't read this, and then decided to. But now she's got white girl slippers, clearly smaller, white instead of black, and Natalie runs right over to him. Oh, my God, you got white slippers. They're different, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, yeah, well, they're girl slippers. And Natalie took off whatever was on her feet and put her feet in Shima's brand spanking new unworn slippers before Shima ever touched them. How dare she?
How dare she?
If that would have been my motherfucking household room, and that little Natalie with the GNAT, like the annoying fucking bug, put her freaking feet in my slippers before I even touched them. I haven't even gone through my entire basket of stuff yet, and she has her feet that she only showered once the week before in my slippers? Oh my god. Oh my god. And then walked around the room in them and had to be told, you cannot keep my slippers. Who do you think you are? I realize she's not the 18-year-old that everybody thinks she is. Who do you think you are with your immature 24-year-old ass? Who do you think you are? Whacked. It was a whole whacked out thing to me.
Wow.
That she already had taken a pair of Jessies, and then, you know what it is? She just feels so privileged that she can do that. This is my clique, and this is my alliance. Yeah, okay. That gives you certain things, like you could probably spend more time in the HOH room because you're friends with them, or quote-unquote friends with them. But it's not your HOH room. Win one yourself, Natalie. Then you can call yourself a winner, and then you can have your slippers. It drove me up a wall. I watched it. I couldn't even believe it. Just so everybody knows, that's the kind of stuff I think about.
To switch gears on that one, I want to know the rest of the conversations that were going on that Shima just busted out with the rape.
Oh, I don't know.
Because CBS made it look like they were just sitting there. She just, hey, I got a sad story.
I'm sure there were other conversations, but it wasn't on during Big Brother After Dark, and I don't have the live feeds this year, so I don't catch every conversation. I usually catch a lot of conversations. I don't have feeds. And I don't come home and usually go back and read a whole day's worth of message boards. I really don't. I read if I see something on the After Dark that says there was a big fight that I didn't get to see, I'll go back and read that and see if I can get any video on that. But that, I have no idea what the context was, but I'm sure there was more, because I've seen the editing in action, you know. You watch the After Dark is 3 hours. 2.5 hours of that could be her showing her freaking head of household room, you get 30 seconds. So...
Right, yeah.
I don't think, unlike these players who seem to think that they're edited the way they are, I don't think people are edited to have personalities, whatever way they want them to go, but they are obviously editing conversations down and things like that. But they think that if Jeff wins the wizard power, it's because of the way he was edited. As opposed to, I don't know, I watch him sometimes for 3 hours doing nothing but joking with everybody, even though they treated him like dirt, even though nobody would talk to them. And he may hate them, but he gets the skill of, I still need to talk to people and keep things copacetic and not get angry and show it. You know, so I think it's hilarious that they think it's, and specifically Ronnie, when he would walk around, he'd say that all the time. Well, it depends upon what the edit of you is. You know how they edit. You know how they're going to edit people. Ronnie, really? Really?
I'm so glad he's gone.
I'm so glad he's not in jury house. Because he could be gone, but in jury house, you'd still have to see him once a week.
Well, I hope there's no opportunity for one of those people to come back in the house.
Actually, I wouldn't mind, like, Braden or Laura getting a shot back in.
True.
But not him.
Not him.
Because I think that those two went for absolutely no good reason. Absolutely no good reason. Specifically Braden. He did nothing except apparently made a racist comment that I don't know what it is, so.
Well, that happens.
But Shima, I know. Shima has been walking around calling Russell a terrorist.
A terrorist.
Yep, because he goes off on her all the time. So instead of saying he's terrorizing me, which makes perfect sense to me, or he's playing, you know, mental warfare games with me, she's calling him a terrorist, and now he's on the tip of, she's going to call Brayden a racist, yet she's going to walk around here and call me a terrorist?
Well, she's supposed to be on the Brayden team, but, like, when she was host of that game show, she couldn't read anybody's names. So she just made up, like, Roman names.
I know.
And made it whatever she wanted to be.
I peeped that also. But, you know, it's funny. Michelle's on the brains, too. And have you heard her veto speeches? She's obviously reading from a card and can't do it well. Okay, it's time for the veto ceremony. And she's supposed to be a PhD. She has the worst use of grammar in I don't know how long, maybe since Cowboy. I mean, she doesn't use long words or make up words, but her grammar for a PhD brainiac is pretty fucking bad. It's pretty bad. It drives me up a wall a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Because PhD, you can't put a sentence together? Seriously? I mean, I kind of give her half of a break because she's PhD in, like, science type stuff, not words and writing and stuff.
Right, right, right.
Or English. But also, you know who else makes up words or uses them in the wrong context all the time? Russell.
Russell the love muscle does
Russell
that?
The love muscle.
I refuse to believe you.
He just because you love him because you think he's hot doesn't mean he's any smarter than you think.
He's a little hot.
He definitely is hot. He doesn't just come up with like crazy words out of nowhere, but he's definitely that's not the right word usage.
Right, right, right.
At all. But it bothers me more at Michelle because she's on the brain scene, and then those speeches. Oh God, they're horrendous. They're horrendous. I mean, obviously, parts of the ceremony speeches are scripted because they say the same thing year after year after year. Okay, I'm going to give each of you a chance to say what you have to say, but that's obviously they're told to say those pieces.
Right.
So either they're told ahead of time and they're told to memorize, and she sucks at that, or it's on cards somewhere in front of her, and she can't read. I would like to hope that it's she can't memorize.
She has no memorization skills. Okay.
Because that would make her look less stupid. But I think I'm wrong. So, there's so many things that annoy me about so many people in that house right now that I could care less if any of them go, except probably Jeff and Jordan. But then part of me kind of wants some of the people who annoy me to stay. I mean, because it's not fun to watch if you don't have people who are annoying each other.
Yeah.
It becomes boring and crazy, you know. It's like watching Janelle that year with seven people who hated her and her. It was boring to watch seven people get along all the time and then nobody talking to Janelle.
That was sad.
Yeah. So I'm not looking to have that happen again by any stretch of the imagination. And I would love for Jeff to use the power of the Wicked Wizard or whatever they're calling it today because they do have about 64,000 names because I think that would make for fun TV. But I think for his game, he probably shouldn't.
Well, we'll find out Thursday.
We will. I think he will, though.
And if he doesn't use it...
I'm going on record as saying Jeff will use the power.
And if he doesn't use the power, who do you think would go home? Russell?
Russell. Because they can't have it go to a tie. If you're on the side of you want Russell to say, you need four votes. Because if it goes to a tie, Shima will definitely boot him. So they have Jeff and Jordan. He could probably... has their votes already, if not get their votes. But then he just doesn't need one more, he needs two more. And Jesse's pissed at him because he didn't pick Jesse for the veto. He had house guest choice and he picked Jeff. So last night on the After Dark, he did try to get Jesse's vote and talk to him about it. And Jesse was like, are you kidding me? You didn't pick me for veto. Big Baby was pissed off. And he said, well, I need somebody who would fight for it. He didn't say me. He didn't say take me off. He said fight for it. And then Jesse said, did you think I wouldn't take you off? And he really was hemming and hawing around that question, but that's really what he thought.
Right.
So he did not pick him. So whereas before, I might have thought he could swing Jesse's vote and that quite possibly then bring Natalie's vote, I don't think he can now. Because now not only are they going against Shima, the head of household's wishes, but then also, he didn't pick him for the veto. And Jesse's a big, fat, huge baby. He's not fat. Big, muscular, physique-filled baby. I don't want to be on slow. You didn't pick me for the veto. So, chances are no on that.
Interesting.
And that's really all I know. Anything else is just BS that they've been sitting around talking about. You know, talking about all the things that Ronnie said about this one and that one and that kind of stuff, whatever.
Okay, let's move on. I say that because my battery light's flashing.
Check. What are we moving on to?
I want to move on to real quick to cover Design Star.
Okay.
Have you all caught up?
I am.
Are they not auditioning people for Design Star anymore? Can just anybody show up that thinks that they're a designer and hard worker? Because that Tashika woman drove me crazy. I got design. I got design. I just want to show I got design. Even that white room challenge that she did wasn't finished.
Well, thing about her is she probably doesn't ever have to and never has had to put together the room herself. She's probably somebody who requires a lot of time to conceptualize, and then she's never had to build stuff.
Right.
I mean, I'm not defending her because, I mean, annoying, but it's that kind of stress. Everybody can't do it.
I think she was a little retarded.
You think everything was shocking.
Okay, so welcome back, even though we technically didn't go anywhere. We did run out of some power on my recorder, so we're back now, and finishing on Design Star. I believe you were defending Tashika a little bit for the way she was treated.
Here's my thing. I'm not so much defending her as, I'm not sure that she's not a good designer, but I think that she needs time to have her design down pat, which you don't have time for. And I think that most designers don't have to build their own freaking furniture. So she's not somebody who can adapt to that.
Right.
So was she right for the show? Absolutely not. But do I think that that makes her a bad designer in life? I have no idea. I'd have to look at her book of stuff. So I just think people just automatically thought she was this amazingly terrible designer. And I'm not sure that that was fair. She was amazingly terrible for this show. And she definitely wouldn't be good on HGTV because of the kind of shows that they have. But I don't know that that means that I wouldn't have her do my kitchen if I liked her stuff. Because
I don't
she
know.
Wouldn't be on a three-day deadline.
I would be afraid that I would tell her what I wanted and she wouldn't be able to grasp that because she seemed to be on such a different planet at times than the things that were going on around her.
Yeah, I can see that. I think it's a very specific kind of show. The Design Stars, the Next Food Network star, Top Chef. I think that you put these people in these crazy, stressful, it doesn't really work that way for them in life, positions. And, yeah, they suck. A lot of them do. But I don't know if that really makes them bad at their profession. I really have to look at her stuff and have a conversation with her to know if she really could design for me. But I think she did get a bum rap, but I don't really care, because I'm glad
anybody
to see
anybody on there that you like?
Antonio.
That's
with the beard.
Gruff guy?
Yeah. I think that he can come up with ideas.
Oddly enough, I like that woman from Houston, even though she's like some southern...
She's one of the blondes?
Yes, from Houston, the one that got added to the show by the
designers. There's so many of these blonde women that... I really don't know everybody's name, except Antonio, because I like him. Not like him like him, you know, like, ooh, he's so hot, I have to keep looking at him like him, like, say, Jeff from Big Brother. But he really does come through with his carpentry work, and I really saw, again, he's going to get pissed off in the next episode, in the previews, that they always make him do carpentry.
Yeah, he'll go home and before he paints a tan wall.
Well, and he definitely is out there, I'm sure, but you never really get to see him design, but I think that the judges were right. Those two dudes, I don't know the other one's name, they do anchor their teams every week. It really is them who stay calm and come through for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I like him. I like the other tall dude who was with him who got sent straight to the next round. I don't know his name. I like him. I don't really like any of the women. Not yet. But I'm still in that phase of, I don't know everybody's name. So I haven't really made up my mind yet. So, I think it's interesting, though, they made them do kitchen so early. It's been, like, good season so far for that for me.
Right.
Their challenge-wise. I like the garage challenge because it makes sense that people would convert that into a room as opposed to trying to buy a bigger house right now. And I think it's a challenging challenge. So, I'm not really sure who I love or really don't love so much. But I know that I can't tell most of the women apart. So, we're busy.
Oh, sorry.
Wow. I could just talk to myself, but I'm not sure how fun that is.
I was wanting to pet your cat. Miss Pixie.
Okay, well... Anyway,
she's sitting right between us. It's hard to ignore her, but she's being so pretty.
Yeah, she doesn't really like the petting though. So, so design star done. I am
check done. Check.
I probably watched a lot of stuff in this last week that you did not watch.
Probably.
Cause
I'm a busy actor. You know, I don't have all day just to sit around and watch TV. Got things to do.
I don't have all day either, thanks. I do work a job. But I do it most of the night when people sleep. Gotta watch something. America's Best Dance Crew premiered. I started watching Making His Band, Diddy's new show to find his own band. They were on their second episode and missed the first one. So I watched a lot of stuff this week that you definitely do not watch. And I don't have many thoughts on either yet.
Okay.
Because they're both kind of new and whatever. Ooh, but the Real Housewives of Atlanta are back. And fabulous as ever. Fabulously just bad, but good. So I'm happy to have them back. And I can't wait for New York because they're my two favorite crews. But they have this new chick. I actually like her. She's from an R&B group called Escape. I don't know if you know who they are. In the 90s, they had like a hit, maybe two. And they were like, they came out during the R&B chick phase of girl R&B chick groups. But they were not the prettiest because it was in Vogue who was prettier and like...
Escape. That's two white girls and a black girl?
No, it's one possibly white, possibly Hispanic girl and like three black girls.
Oh, okay.
And they weren't so, I mean, they sang okay, but they just maybe had two hits. And she's a replacement for like their boring housewife from last season. And I thought, wow, she's really great, you know, because Escape did what they did and she had some money from that. But she apparently has been writing all these hit songs for all these years for like Beyonce and Destiny's Child and NSYNC and like all these different artists, Pink. It really runs the gamut of artists even. So she's made money that way. She's invested in real estate. She's lived in the same house that she bought herself. Yes, she did write that. She, however, is engaged to a man with six children from four different babies' mamas.
All right.
So I think that if you're intelligent and self-sustaining enough, that you would not want to get wrapped up in that. It's a little wacky. And there's all kinds of things about her on the internet. And I don't know this because I'm reading it. I know this because she's reading it on the show. The blogs about her. About how she bought her own ring. And he has no job. And all these different things. And I'm not sure that that's all not true. Because I don't know where he goes to work. I haven't seen it yet. And I don't know how he's affording the ring if he's not working with six kids. Four babies' mamas. You know if there's four baby mamas. At least one of them has to be nuts that you're going to have drama with.
Oh, sure. Of course.
Because I'm sure, you know, not everybody who has a baby with somebody is crazy nutso. But out of four, at least one's going to be. So I think that's a little crazy. There's where her crazy's going to come from. So I'm loving that. But the other two, while I love those two shows, I haven't really formed an opinion yet.
I'm still stuck on the girls' group because I was thinking of Seduction. That's the girls group I was thinking of.
Okay, no. Escape. I can't even come up with their song. I wish I could. But they had definitely one big hit and then maybe another minor hit.
Okay.
Then they sort of just faded out. And again, they were in a time frame with prettier girl groups. So then that doesn't also work for you. So it'll be interesting to see what goes down with her. They showed some what's coming up this season and she definitely has a fight with one of the other chicks. And there's got to be some drama. Ooh, and her mother hates the fiancé. So there's all drama between her and her mother because of that. So, I don't know what else we both watch together.
I don't watch any shows right now. I watch Kathy Griffin, which we watched. I just watched my first episode of Nurse Jackie because you had it.
Which is fantastic.
Other than that, I'm not even watching The View anymore right now or Oprah because it's all reruns. I watch Dance Your Ass Off, which you don't watch.
No.
I watch Ruby.
I don't get
the big fat woman and losing the weight.
Because that's on Style, right?
Style Network. So I watch that. And
because I actually probably watch Ruby. I saw her on Oprah, and I'm sort of interested, but I don't have Style Network, so I can't watch it.
And that's about it. I'm just waiting for fall to start. You know, Project Runway will start soon. Mm. Then after that will come some of our regular shows back, hopefully.
I imagine some of them will start later.
Oh, well, sure.
Like Heroes. Freaking like November. We get an episode. Also watching a lot of Family Channel shows, Make It or Break It, about gymnastics team. Figure Life of the American Teenager, which I said to Karen, who's our friend, we have a mutual friend, her name's Karen. She called me while I was watching, and she's like, what are you doing? I go, I'm eating dinner, and I'm trying to figure out why it is I tune into the Secret Life of American Teenager. Because every week I actually question it 60 minutes through, but every week I keep watching. So she's like, well, there's your answer. Obviously you like it. I go, no, I don't. I go, I like the storylines, but the little teeny bopper actors are terrible, most of them. And the one main character, they've written her to be such a crazy, wonko, annoying nightmare that I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing, but I can't not watch. Now, Make It or Break It, also a teeny bopper show, and most of those little actors can't really act that much either, but it's enjoyable. It's about some girl gymnasts trying to get to the Olympics. So that one I actually don't question, but I actually question for 60 minutes, why am I watching this? And I keep watching. So I'm sure you're not tuning into those.
No.
Someone might be listening who thinks that those shows are worth watching. I don't care if I'm the only one who keeps Family Channel in business.
If you can relate to Andrea and want to share your fascination with those crappy shows she just talked about, email her at tangenttvtalk@yahoo.com. Or even if you just want to tell us how much we suck.
We'll take it. We'll take the hit.
Give us some suggestions. But let us know what you think at tangenttvtalk@yahoo.com. This has been a successful podcast, I think.
I agree. And now we're off to watch the Tuesday night episode of Big Brother.
I love it.
Love it.
All right. And we'll try to be back sooner rather than later. And maybe with a theme song.
Maybe. Or we'll just keep singing one.
Wow!
Goodbye.
All right, peace. This is Kyle saying goodbye.
It's Andrea, bye.
Peace.